Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will come to order. If anybody has any cell phones, you can put them on silence, not to disrupt today's meeting. Just do so. And if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number three, this is discussion on possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, January the 19th, 2016. Does anybody have any questions or issues with today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's agenda for January the 19th, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this date, January 19th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four. This is discussion of possible action, the approval of the minutes for December the 15th of 2015. Does anybody have anything to add to this? Any errors, omissions, corrections to the minutes of December the 15th? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve minutes for December the 15th, 2015.
I'll second the motion.
And moved and seconded to approve the minutes of December 15th, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Is there any public comment on today's consent agenda? Seeing none, call for a motion to approve it.
I have a comment.
Okay.
I have a comment related to item 9 for possible approval and acceptance of the Stop Violence Against Women formula grant. The only comment I have is that I think it's against women. It notes that it's against women. However, in the narrative, our DA did state that this covers domestic violence against men as well. And I know that during my term as Justice of the Peace, abuse against males from their spouses or girlfriends was about 13%. And now it's about almost 40%. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that this covers male as well. So thank you.
Okay. I think that's just the title of the grant itself.
Yeah.
Is that correct,
yeah,
NMDA?
Is that from our Attorney General Cortez Mesa?
It started, it's been going on for some time, but victims of domestic abuse include both women and men. As you know, some of the cases that extreme cases that we've had this year did involve men being the victims, so... They are not discriminated against.
And we're happy to take grant money no matter what. Okay. Any other comments concerning today's consent agenda? Hearing none, looking for a motion to approve today's consent agenda?
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
And moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 11. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Let's see here. Why don't we start at the rear of the room? April Inlow, do you have anything to report today?
No, not today.
Not today? No. Jason Van Havel, is something on planning? Mr. Haymore.
USA Parker project, that will probably be in the spring. right-of-way right now on the USA Parkway. We're meeting with them tomorrow with their engineers also. And then on construction permits, they're trying to get through the MDOT for that decision also. All the projects going very smoothly down there. Everybody's working hard, and we're very lucky to have all the projects in store. We will be trying to get this roof finalized as soon as possible with the contractor. Commissioner Ryan's asked me to follow up on that, and I'm trying to get that work through. We want snow on it, but we also want snow off of it so we can see if it's not making any difference. I've walked that three times, I think, in the last 3 months myself.
You got an update on USA Parkway?
We met, and Pat's going to meet with the contractor tomorrow, and they're staying in August of 2017. That's their projection to get done. Of course, there's always some running things in the way, but they're looking at August of 2017. And we'll let you know on when the groundbreaking is going to be.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. The recorder's office, Jen Chapman, everything today?
I don't think she heard you.
Jen, nothing?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just wait till we get to budget. Okay. Mr. Ballard? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Community relations, Sherry.
Left due to the weather, so if you wanted me to let you guys know that.
They're also planning a 100-year celebration sometime later this summer in the Lockwood community. They're 100 years old this year, so they're working on that. I will defer the rest of my comments. We're expecting someone from UNR, Office of Cooperative Extension, here for the day on that. So she may be tagged a late day.
Okay. No problem. Great.
On the mammogram, is there a fee associated with that?
They accept most all major insurances. There's probably a sliding fee schedule if you don't have some sort of insurance coverage, but I think nowadays everyone has some sort of coverage. So, you know, it is important that you call ahead, make an appointment, and they can answer those questions at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. VCTC Director, Danny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one thing, really, and that is last week we met with the VCTC board and unveiled our 2016 special event calendar. For those that would like to purchase tickets for any of our events or participate in the parade or be a vendor, sponsor, what have you, all the information now is up and ready online. In years past, it's been a big challenge for our staff to get up at the start of the year to have all that detail in place. And by golly, we've got it together now. So if you want to buy tickets for the Way It Was Rodeo, which is our newest big addition for the 16 calendar, you can certainly go on there right now and purchase your tickets. We're very excited about that rodeo. It's going to come in the middle of September. The folks that put on the arena rodeo every year, the rosters with the Flying J rodeo promotions to all the major ones, including the arena rodeo for the last 15 to 40 years, putting that on for us. So expect a very fun, filled month of September along the rest of the calendar. So we're excited about it. I do have a list of events here. Always before I didn't bring that copy, we will have our printed anniversary probably within the next week or so.
Great.
So Danny, yes. Vendors register online as well?
Sure.
Okay. Do they get their permit online?
Liquid Blue handle that all for them.
Okay.
Promoter, yeah. Okay. You can contact them, let them know what event they want to be a part of, and they'll give them all the paperwork and get them all set up.
Okay. What about nonprofits, our local nonprofits, if they want to set up a booth?
Same thing. They contact them or myself in regards to volunteering and helping out. Each of these events that we have, especially now with the rodeo, we need help. I know the Booster Club and several other sporting events from the high school come and help us. They do parking, they do, you know, seating, picking up trash, set up, that type of stuff. We need help, and we will obviously work with our local sports.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denny. Senior Planner, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things I want to bring up today. Austin Osborne for the record. Our Black and Howell project on the corner of Taylor and C Street is still moving forward. We're working with the engineering company to determine how we're going to set up the CMAR, which is a contractor of risk that will manage that project. We're going to have a mandatory meeting down there on January 22nd at 11 o'clock for any bidders that would like to bid on that project. We've had that meeting before and got one bidder. We'd like to have more than one bidder. Secondly, out at Tri-Center on February 24th, I've been asked by the Washoe County School District to give a tour of Tri for the Signatures Academies and other teachers in Washoe County, and their objective is to learn about economic development that's going on out at Tri-Center in Story County, and they're trying to work with their team and their school board on how to direct and guide their curriculum in Washoe County to meet the needs of the Teslas, the Switches, and some of the companies that are here in Story County and other places, including Washoe County, Northern Nevada. So I think not only is this a great opportunity to give a tour for teachers, but it's really indicative of the acknowledgement of what's happening in Northern Nevada by our different jurisdictions and an interest in wanting to address the needs for our companies and the needs for our kids and our families here in our part of the state. The master plan workshop, we're going to have yet another one for the Planning Commission. This one will be on January 22nd, this Thursday at 6 o'clock. We're going to hold this meeting in Mark Twain. I want to add that I've been working with a Story County School District on making sure that their concerns of the board, the superintendent, including the soon-to-come superintendent, Todd Hess, is their interest and their needs are being integrated into the master plan with particular interest in the painted rock item of the master plan. And so I've been working with them, and I've gotten some more information that I'll continue working with them over the next 3 months in making the master plan really address some of the education needs that our school district would like to see and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and its companies would like to see. So we're probably looking at about another 3 months of the master plan process before it starts coming in for final draft of the Planning Commission, a roadshow in all of our communities for final comment, and then ultimately for this board for consideration. On the HR side, we are at that time of year now where we're looking at benefits enrollment period. This is the period where all of our employees, we're working with our employees, we're working with LP Insurance, our insurance broker, on going through the bidding process for who will be our next insurance carrier for the next fiscal year of the insurance companies. And this is the process where we invite our employees through a task force or a focus group type of setting. Jesse's really been taking lead on that downstairs. And determining what our next round of benefits will be, what our experience rating has been for the last year, and what some of the challenges we're seeing nationally and internationally and local will have effect on our rates as well as programs that are being offered. As we have in the last past 3 years, we're putting heavy emphasis on the HSA program. We'll still have a PPO program likely, and really the emphasis of that is for ownership and accountability. A health savings account really involves the person in their health benefits plan and kind of lets them have some stake in the game when they're making their choices on who they see and when they see doctors. And then, as we know, we're also in that season for collective bargaining agreement for our general employees. I have noticed the AFSCME union that will intend to bargain, and they have responded that they also will intend to bargain for this year. And then on this agenda, we'll talk about some items. But at this point, for the rest of the spring, this board and I and the AFSCME union and I will be working collaboratively with our team and our next collective bargaining agreement. Thank you.
Any questions for Austin?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chief Ames?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Gary Haynes for the record. I'd like to dovetail into some of Dave Ballard's comments on Communication Center. What he kind of went into but really impacts all of us is, in a positive way, is he's now taken on all the cell communications, 911 calls, and the entire North Corridor. What does that mean to us? That means to us that, and I apologize, I'm getting over a little cold, but what that means to us is we no longer have to wait for the process to go through Washoe County. I'm sure you're aware of this, but to recap, the way it used to work is a 911 call would go to the Washoe County PSAP. If it's a medical call, it goes from Washoe County to RIMSA. RIMSA would dispatch that call, and then at some point notify us. As you may recall, I've been up here and testified previously that there were times where we'd get on scene and have a RIMSA ambulance there already. Not good business, not for our customers, for the district. What we're finding now is we don't see that any longer. We have, and there's no way to tell because we don't have access to RIMSA's CAD, obviously, but we think that we're probably getting calls somewhere between 8 and 10 minutes sooner. That does dramatically impact his dispatchers because he does get all the calls for I-80 now. But conversely, it's impacting our customers and the people that we're there to help dramatically by 8 to 10 minutes we're anticipating. So I want to give him a lot of props for last week, too. We had the first set of snow that really came in through I-80. Everybody knows that I-80 is not our district, but it's their business partner with us. We have automatic aid with them. It makes good business sense that we go there first. We can get there much quicker. Previously, we would get the calls again from Washoe County, or there were times where we'd get calls from the engine company from Truckee Meadows saying, hey, we're going out to a motor vehicle accident at so-and-so exit. We're not getting that anymore now that we're fielding those 911 calls. And again, we're seeing about an 8 to 10-minute time reduction to incidents out there. And that's significant. If you have a traumatic incident, traumatic cardiac arrest, that's the difference between life and death. So Again, Dave alluded to that, but I really want to say thank you. He's working very hard to make sure that he's processing these calls efficiently, and his call volume has gone up in that location. So thanks, Dave. Moving on, the fuels grant in the Highlands has been completed. That was one of two fuels grants that we had in place, bless you. We have remobilized now down to the Six Mile Canyon area. We'll be doing traffic control down there. Hopefully we're not holding up our citizens too much, but we'll be down there probably, if the snow keeps going, we'll see how that goes. But probably for the next at least 6 weeks. There's very heavy fuels. We're also working hand-in-hand with the Public Works Department and Sherry through Community Development, if I said that right?
Community Relations.
Community Relations, thank you, through a grant that she has for hazard mitigation in that area. One of our goals is to reduce the trees in that area in cooperation with Public Works so we can get the shaded areas out, i.e. keep the ice off the roads and reduce traffic accidents too. So it's not only fuels, but it's also a public safety grant. We went live on a new computer software program for all of our emergency reporting systems January 1st, and I want to thank the board for allowing us to change vendors. We've had the same vendor for probably 20 years. It was like the definition of insanity. They kept saying that it would do this, it would do that. We'd go try it, it wouldn't work. Our statistics were all done by hand. It would take us literally hundreds of hours a year to try to give you the tools that you need to make good decisions with. Now it's all automated. So I think County Manager Witten's showing you a report, but it looks like a very simple report. But that same report took us 3 minutes to print out, where previously that would have taken us literally 30 hours to go by every incident and hand entry these into an Excel spreadsheet that we could manipulate and get good data to you guys. So that's a big, big improvement for us. So, again, thank you, Hugh, for working with us to change contracts from our old vendor to our new vendor. We really didn't see any price increase, but a much, much better product, more efficient product for us. We're also working with Public Works to move the fuel tanks, as I think you're aware of, from the previous fire station, Mark Twain, which is the community center now, out to Tahoe Reno Industrial Complex, the McCarran Center. Right now we have to go to Golden Gate or to Lockwood to get fuel, so that'll reduce our times in district where we're not having to go to Lockwood to get fuel. And the last thing I think I have is we were fortunate enough to get a new used 12-passenger van through federal excess property. It cost us $25, as all that equipment does. We have some folks going down to San Diego for a national conference in the next month. They'll swing through and grab that on their way back, and that will be kept at the McCarran Center, so if anybody needs it, it'll be out there for use. If there aren't any questions, that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Sheriff Antonoro? Special Counsel, Mr. Morris?
Nothing at this time, thank you.
DA Langer?
Nothing at this time.
County Manager Witten?
A few quick items. Dina mentioned the USA Parkway State Route 439 project is moving along. NDOT last week selected Ames Construction as their contractor. They've got several business locations established across the West, including in Carlin, Nevada. They are really tackling this project hard. We met with them last week. Mike and Gary and I meet again with them tomorrow. We are contemplating offering them some of our surplus space out at our McCarran Complex in exchange for tenant improvements that fit into our plans in the future. So we'll be meeting with them. Had an interesting tour of TRI last week with Dean. One of our newest tenants out there is a gentleman by the name of Dr. Eberle. Dr. Eberle is a dentist, and he's going in and he's establishing a practice there. He has several practices across northwestern Nevada, but he'll be setting up, and we've offered to help him. We're going to create a periodic newsletter. I'm hedging on how periodic it will be because I don't want to say we're going to do a newsletter every 2 months and be scratching our heads looking. But perhaps biannually or quarterly, we're going to initiate through Dina Stacy's office a publication that Ronell and Rad will help us with that talks about some of the businesses out of TRI, maybe provides us a unique way vehicle and being able to communicate with hopefully all of our employees out there, Austin and the van share program and, you know, several others. So we're working on that. Dean did mention jet.com. That is a press conference scheduled for Thursday at 1 o'clock at the Atlantis. The governor is scheduled to speak. Chairman McBride is going to speak. The CEO and COO of jet.com will both be there. And I have to tell you, for those of you who have not tried jet.com, you ought to try it. It's like the Costco of the Internet. You order over $35 and your shipping's free, and it's delivered usually within a matter of just a couple of days to your doorstep. You don't have to fight the crowds, the crazy people, or anything like that. So I think it's a great service. And a couple of great announcements, I think, ironically, two brothers. Last week, the school board made a great choice in their successor, superintendent for schools, once Rob Slaby retires, Dr. Slaby, and they picked Todd Hess. Todd's a great choice. I can tell you, in my own words, my daughter was a product of Virginia City High School, and she that guy is her favorite educator, bar none. So this is a great selection. And then a few days after that, I was notified by Dr. Slaby that the NIAA, Nevada Interscholastic Athletic Association, has honored Bum Hess into the Hall of Fame. That's quite prestigious. There's, I think, probably only one person in this room right now that I know of that's also on that, and that happens to be the gentleman to my right. So Bum into the Hall of Fame, and Todd is a school superintendent. So that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Pat. County Clerk seated today. Comptroller Gallagher. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to, for, I have just one thing. And speaking about Hall of Famers, we lost one of ours on December 5th of last year. One of the finest human beings you'll ever want to meet. His name was Thomas Wayne Andreessen. Thomas Wayne, Tommy, as we call him, grew up in Virginia City. His mother, Shirley, worked here in the courthouse. His father had the Sazerac Saloon, which is now the Ponderosa, for many, many years. Tom attended all the schools here, and he was on the first state championship basketball team in 1958. He was also on the state championship team of 1962 as a senior when I was a freshman here. I got to play with Tommy both here at the in Virginia City and at the University of Nevada. He went to the University of Nevada in 1965, was on probably the best team the University of Nevada had ever had. Record-wise, they were 20-5. Two losses being to Texas Western University, which won the major college championship that year, and one loss was to Southern Illinois, who won the small college championship. He graduated with a math and chemistry degree in education, came back to the Hill, and taught math and chemistry from that point until he left in 1973. And in the meantime, he was the assistant basketball coach and basketball coach and won a state championship in 1972. While at Carson City in 1973, he moved there, math and chemistry teacher, took over the basketball program there, and won a state championship in 1975. Quite a dynamic individual. He was a great friend of the Comstocks. He was a great human being, a great educator, and a great family man. And I will miss him. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I was fortunate enough to play on that 1972 team. And I still struggle a little with algebra today. All right. That concludes staff and committee reports. I don't see anyone else in here. So we'll move on now to item number 12. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. This is our quarterly financial update for the fiscal year of 2015-2016. And Mr. Gallagher, we'll come back to you on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. If anybody out there in the audience is expecting a 1.5-2 hour review of this. We're not having one today because this is probably the first time since we've had this budget process that we are very below the numbers that we've had for the second quarter as far as budget to actual. I commended our department heads and elected officials this morning. It is work well done. They have exceeded my expectations because, as we know, certain things happen within a calendar year or a fiscal year that we just can't project. And so with that, there are a couple, and I will mention them to you just because they probably need reflection. We have our 474 fire district. Gary Haynes, as far as his overall budget, we are sitting right now at the 50% point, which is very critical for us because we have really almost one more quarter to figure out where we're going to be with the other year because, as we know, that last quarter is very critical, and we're also in the budgetary process or the final budgetary process for the 2016-2017 year. But Gary's expenses were sitting at 55%, but because of the plan review fees and the permit fees that are out there in the industrial park, he is operating pretty much at a net profit right now, which is extremely, I'm not sure how he does it. He does have some items that are over the annual budget for his particular year, which is communications and computer software. Gary was talking about the upgrade that's happening with his system to make it better. Communications is all part, along with building maintenance, fire protection supplies, and ambulance supplies that are all the development of Station 75, for which we accessed those accounts probably in July of last year. And quite frankly, there was no budgetary item set forward with that because of the agreement with Tesla on funds that they were going to deliver. So this will even out. I'm quite sure that Gary's group is hard at it. He's one of the best we've got at this thing, so I have no problems with that. Roads, they're sitting at a net 51%, which is absolutely, I think, dynamic, and that includes 122,000, probably 123,000 over his annual budget that was attributed to the road repair in the Highlands. Now, several years, he's been budgeting that. It all depends on when he has the weather and the facilities to go ahead and do that. He was understanding that the price of asphalt was considerably high to his expectations, decided to wait till all of that came down, and did a marvelous job with that. And sometimes that happens, and I don't see a problem with it whatsoever. Emergency management was sitting at 71% of their budget, but that was due to an emergency situation that we had in the industrial park for the first 2 weeks of this fiscal year, which that will be rectified probably in the next quarter. Even though the sheriff's budget is at 49%, but this is with a line item now, obviously, of a $99,000 settlement, but even with that, he's sitting at 47% of his budget. Now, there are some things that are coming up down the road that we need to take a look at. Obviously, he's got some capital expenditures for some vehicles that will occur this year, but all in all, I think it's a job well done. And Danny Dodson with our Tourism Commission had about 5 budget items that were over the annual budget, and I will just briefly mention those because, let's see. They were Yeah, training is training, building maintenance, Virginia City Senior Center or Virginia, the Visitor Center expenses, excuse me, promoter commissions, and capital outlay. And understandable, we can take a look at that and we go with the, if we understand that we're in a cyclic mode with the Tourism Commission and a lot of these expenditures occur between July and the end of October, we'll be doing some catch up in that third quarter, should be better off. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will have this remark that we do this process better than anybody in the state, and I will stake my reputation on it if I got one left, because there was a an organization called the Chief Financial Officers Association for Nevada, which we meet every year. And when we have these meetings every year, I meet with the assessors and clerk treasurers and comptrollers, finance people from all over the state. And they are completely amazed at the process by which we have this and the cooperation that we get from department heads. You could not do this in Mercer County. You could not do this in Clark County. You have people that don't talk to each other on pretty much a decade basis down in Marshall County, and I'm not sure about Clark County. So the process we have works. It's efficient. And for those people who need help, we give help. For those people who have an explanation for what happens, we don't sit there and say, well, that's too bad, or you're not going to get the item because public safety or any other safety may be involved. So with that process, I'm very pleased to that with the second quarter report, and if the chairman or the commissioners have any comment, I'll certainly fire off something.
Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Gallagher? No. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Well done. Department heads are doing a great job of keeping the budgets in order.
If I may, one more item, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. And with this also starts our 2016-2017 budget, which we have started earlier every year because of the expectations that we have because of the growth of the industrial park and the growth of Story County overall. This is a process that it is going to start. Our first meeting is January 25th, and where we accumulate and try and figure out what our personnel needs may be. We're going to have meeting after meeting on this until the tentative budgets are approved in March. With that, we have been targeting a reduction in property taxes. Our target as of today is to reduce the property taxes in Story County by about $500,000. Now that's a large item. That's our target point. We don't have all the information right now that we need to have, but I thought I'd share that with you because the budget process will include this, this will be a reduction in, for the most part, the general fund. The other particular funds that are attributed to, that receive money from ad valorem and centrally assessed certainly just couldn't function without it. We are sitting at probably a, with our financials, and I will get to that in just a second, probably an ending fund balance of probably a little over $6 million. That's healthy. It was there. It was done because for a reason, and my reasons are there is the huge build out of the industrial park is significant enough to give me pause on some of these things. But that being said, I think it's time to look at it. And so I will be going down this road during the budget process with this $500,000 budget figure in mind. Getting to the financial statements, they were going to be approved today. They will be approved on the February 2nd. And it's because during our review process of the audited financial statements, we found an error. And it was not an error that was caused by us. It was actually caused by the Department of Taxation. And in April of every year, the Department of Taxation sends out their last quarterly payment for centrally assessed. We didn't get it till July. And since that was approximately a $1.2 million item for the general fund, I was not going to let it sit in July. And so consequently, we got with the auditor, and so he's going to redo or readjust the financial statements. And with financial statements, it's a 50-page document, and so if you change a number on one page, you're probably likely to change about 25 pages. So that's where we are with that. But we should have that rectified and ready for your approval on the February 2nd. Mr. Chair.
Very good. Mr. Gallagher.
Anything else?
Jack.
Mr. Gallagher. The tax reduction, is that residential, commercial, all
everything?
Above?
It'll be across the board.
Okay, across the board. Okay. And the, I believe on the fair share tax that we bailed on, we came out, what, 47,000 ahead on this?
We're holding our own.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a significant reduction. Normally in January, February, March, if we're going to see it, we're going to see it. Because those are the slow times. But we won't have that information because taxation is usually 2 or 3 months behind. They collect the tax, they think, and get interest on it, then give it to us. I don't know why it's not sooner, but they have a hard time distributing it sometimes when it's due.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. That concludes item number 12. At this time, we'll move on to item number 13. This is board comments. No action or public comment will be taken. Commissioner McGuffey?
The only thing I have to comment on is just to advise everyone that I've always been a member of the Fourth Ward School Board. Last week, they nominated and elected me as vice chair of the board. Thank you.
Congratulations. Vice Chairman Gilman?
Nothing today, sir. Thank you.
I, too, have nothing today. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion of possible action. Award bid to Houston Smith Construction in the amount of $99,400 for the Gold Hill Depot renovation project. Mr. Haymore.
Commissioners, thank you. We went out to bid for the Gold Hill Depot. There was three bids that we received. They're in your packet. Bison Construction at $130,600. Houston Smith Construction at $99,400, and Central Sierra Construction for $98,000. This time I recommend that we accept the low bid, which is, I feel, the best bid from Houston Smith Construction, not to exceed $99,400, and then I am negotiating with them to maybe reduce that a little bit more, and then authorize me or the county manager to sign the contract after it's reviewed by the district attorney's office and that give them a notice to start.
Okay. Do you plan on being the project manager?
I'm going to be the project manager on this one.
Okay.
Will this complete the building?
This will complete the phases, get in the handicap ramp necessary, the exit doors requirement, some female bathrooms, some restrooms, and a warming kitchen, and kind of level the rough floor. And so it can be opened up for Denny to start leasing out or people renting out and using the facility. Yes.
Anything else? Any public comment on this issue? Okay. At this time, commissioners, I'm looking for a motion to approve the bid of $99,400 to Houston Smith Construction for the Gold Hill Depot renovation project.
So I'll move to award the bid to Houston Smith Construction in the amount of $99,400, not to exceed, for the Gold Hill Depot renovation project.
I'll second that motion.
Move to second to approve this bid. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more. All right, moving along now to item number 15. This is discussion only. No action will be taken. This is a workshop on business and liquor licenses, Chapter 5.04 and 5.12, to amend the code to improve the procedures with the application, investigation, and approval of licenses. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert Morris for the record. If I could just take, I would say, about 10 minutes to talk about this in general. And then hopefully I'll go through with some of the specifics. I did add some questions in the agenda action form that I thought we could discuss maybe towards the end. And the idea today is to give you information about the business licenses and the liquor licenses, the status of the current code, and suggestions we have that we would like you to consider. Again, as the chairman pointed out, today is a no-action item. It's basically to have the board an opportunity to see these issues and the public to see these issues. And I would invite anybody that has suggestions to put them in writing and send them to me, and we'll see if we can get those incorporated into a final ordinance at some time. I'm just based on the complexity of this issue, I think we might have another workshop in a, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. So it's a work in progress, and I think it will take some time. One of the issues that I saw when I started working on this was when I was reading Nevada Revised Statutes. I think they're some of the most confusing section of law that Nevada has. It's strange. They have one section that gives the board authority to manage licenses, and that's a pretty broad discretion. But then they have little sections of statutes that haven't been amended or changed. One of the things is, as the liquor board, the county is supposed to have a separate liquor ordinance book that they keep. And I've looked at almost every jurisdiction in the state, and every jurisdiction includes the liquor ordinance as part of their general code. And so the state has never updated their code to make that possible or give counties authority. I think under the new home rule law, we could probably say that we have the ability to fix some of these problems. The first thing that I wanted to discuss was back in 2002, I believe it was, the county put an administrator into the code to allow business licenses to be done by the administrator. Now, under NRS, there's a section that says basically the sheriff must collect all the fees unless the county chooses to make a licensing department. And then the county is allowed to set up all the procedures for this licensing department. And so if you look at the existing code, all those procedures are set up in the code, but there was no licensing department or division, I called it, and I think in here the name might be department, might be division. But it's something that wasn't done properly to meet the requirements of NRS. So one of the things that I did do, just to call out the section 5.04.015, I have the board establishes a business license division to administer the duties set out in this title. And what that would do is it would allow community development and the administrator, Dean here, to process the applications. The NRS, as I said, has the sheriff as the ex officio collector of all licensing fees unless you do set up this department. So to meet what the requirements in code are, we would have to have all of the fees go through the sheriff's office unless we set up this department. And so knowing that I think the county wants to have community development work on the issuance of business licenses, I think it's important to add that
section in, and that would relieve the sheriff of having to collect all those fees. It would allow the administrator to set up the process of collecting fees for business licenses. I was going to
say
part of the
problems that I saw with the existing code is that the process is not really set out very well. I really expect that the code should say, here's how you apply to get a license, the requirements for that, the information that has to be given, then set up a process for the board to actually have a hearing on that application, have the requirements that the applicant must meet, and then the board can decide whether they do meet or do not meet that. I think it's important to have a section on grounds for denial so everybody knows that ahead of time. And so if you go through, I left the basically contents of the sections in the code so you can see what has been changed. And so I can tell you the business license section wasn't so bad, but there were sections in it that clearly didn't belong there. One of them is the liquor license establish the fees and the regulations. And so that was in the business license section, and it really should have been in its own section about business licenses. So there's two code sections that we're talking about, chapters. 5.04 is business licenses. 5.12 is the liquor licenses. So there was, I took some time to take out all the liquor license requirements that are in the business license section and put them into the liquor license section. So I think we've managed to segregate those two sections fairly well. I would point out, I added several sections, 5.04, 250, 260, 262, and 265. And these are all sections that NRS has required since our code has been amended. And so it's these sections bring those or put those sections into our existing code. And basically one is applicant has to submit an affidavit or attestation concerning workers' comp industrial insurance. That's a requirement that NRS put in maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and it hasn't been done, so I've put that into the code. There's also a statement regarding obligation of child support. If that's required, you have to show that you are paying your requirement. So that, again, has been a recent law, say in the last 10 years, that NRS has passed that has not been put into the code. In my research, I think there's another section that I don't have in here, and that's why I say it's a work in progress. I believe there's a section that if you sell to minors and are convicted of that three times, that you lose your license as well. And we don't have that in our code, but I will be adding that in as a NRS requirement that is not in our code. That's basically the changes that have been made to the business license. I can say initially we looked at just changing the liquor license section chapter, but after I noticed these problems with the business license, I thought it was worthwhile expanding to make all those changes in that section as well. Under sale of alcoholic beverages, I've added quite a few sections. The first one is that a license is required, and it plainly states that this is a privileged license, and this is one that has different standards than a regular business license. And the county does have quite broad discretion in determining who should have this. And so I've added a section basically stating that so it's very clear. One of the issues that has come up that I think we need to deal with is confidentiality of information that's submitted in the application. If you look at 5.12020, it talks about application confidentiality. This is sort of a preliminary attempt at trying to figure out a way to have information submitted with an application that would remain confidential. And basically it's I think a lot of it is towards the business that they don't have to reveal to the public their net worth or where some of their money is coming from and stuff like that. And so I think I expect that we're going to have to work at nailing that down just to make sure that we have a clear idea of what's required and what's going to be confidential, and also the process in handling that confidential information. I think the way I have it set up is that that information would go to the administrator, but that the board members should have an opportunity to review it if they want. And it's just a matter of setting up a confidential process to make sure that that's done. I would also say that I met with quite a few people while I was working on this draft, and one of the sections, which is 512040, temporary license, I talked to the sheriff, and it seemed like the code was trying to make a couple of distinctions between amending licenses and how that's done. And hopefully what we've done is simplified this and made a temporary license that can be used, say, if somebody becomes incompetent, say. What it would allow is a temporary license to be issued while the full license goes through the regular process. And so it would allow businesses to continue and stay open while there's a determination as to whether a license is going to be issued or not. So the idea was to take all the different possibilities where somebody would have to get a new license. Say the structure of their corporation changed and they had a new person that needed to be licensed instead of the existing person. Well, this would allow a temporary license until the application was approved or denied. 512.050, I put in the section on hearing on application. The next section is grounds for denial. I would say that I haven't changed the basic requirements for a business license. They remain the same. That's something that we could look at, but I was not anticipating looking at that today. One of the other things that came up was that there seemed to be conflicting sections about the types of licenses that the county can give. And what I did is I set it up with basic licenses. 070 is off-sale license. 080 is a regular liquor license. There's a section called supplemental bar liquor license, 090. And there's a question as to whether that needs to be separately licensed or not and what fee that should be required. There's also a service bar liquor license, which is about the same, except it's limited to just service people. Patrons of the business can't order at that bar. And so there were just areas that seemed that they could be better explained or a clearer idea of what licenses were required. I think currently the section is enforced quite well by the sheriff, because they do, whether it's a liquor license, they do a business license at the same time. So if the county is going to have the administrator do the business license, we have to figure out a way, if we're going to have the liquor license with the sheriff and the business license with the administrator, or if we're going to have the administrator do both of them, or leave it the way it is and have the sheriff do both of them. It's just part of the process that I think that should be examined carefully, and a decision made as to how we want to do this, and then I'll be happy to draft the code and we can move forward. I think that's probably enough of my talk, and I know Mr. Witten has views on this, and anybody that's in the public or the sheriff that wants to talk about this, I think is the appropriate time.
Who wants to go next?
May I?
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to talk about what's not in the ordinance, because Bob and I have kind of debated this, and that's really the process. You can see the required documentation that should come in. But we also looked at the process and looked at things like where we have issued licenses before, where we did not do an adequate job in checking with either state health or fire district or building department for code compliance, life safety issues. So in looking at the process, we kind of stripped it down to its basics, and I'm not saying anything poorly of of our current situation, but I would say Dean's office, community development, and I want to thank Dean and Stacy in addition to Bob for hours and hours and hours of work and input on this. But Dean's office, community development, handle, I would say on average, anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12 licenses per day, every day, between what goes on at the industrial park and everything else. And they go through a system right now that is working. They have their checks and balances on their application forms. State Health is contacted. The state, if it's a contractor, the contractor's licensing board. I think there's now a state license that they have to get of all businesses as well. Fire district is brought in from safety standpoint. That works very well. So we wanted to take a look at that model and how could we make it apply, particularly in this case, to the liquor licensing. And I think Bob summarized it very well when he said, you know, we can either do a one-stop shop with the sheriff's office as we have now. We can conceivably do a one-stop shop with the community development, or we can burst them apart. In 2002, I think, we intentionally lumped them together so as it's more user-friendly on our applicants, on our customers. We're not running them all over the place and saying, you got to go here for this and here for that. So the one-stop shop is something that I thought was appealing. And then you throw in the fact that, you know, Dean's office has an established process for business licenses now that works. So here would be the process, and whether you choose to want to integrate it into the ordinance or not, I would advocate that you don't, because once you put it into an ordinance, if we change any small element of it for ease, we find out that we needed to add one more step in the process, then you have to go back through two readings, through publications and everything. So I'm advocating, I think, that community development, if it goes to the administrator, the community development works out the processes and then presents them to you for your knowledge and approval. But the process, I like to explain it, is a multi-timed fork. You have the handle of the fork. The handle of the fork is simply Dean and Stacy and their office, community development. They will take all the information as the one-stop shop. Then you come down in channel one. Channel one will be, as is pointed out clearly in here, they will need to have a criminal background check, and I underline criminal background check, done through our sheriff's office, similar to what we do for our employment practices now. You come down the second time of the fork, you know, and that's the financial probity, financial standing element of both our existing ordinance and our new ordinance. Again, with no disrespect to the sheriff's office, I would tell you that it makes all the sense in the world for our chief financial officer to be the one that's taking a look at the fiscal standing, the financial probity, you know, of these applicants, and applying some logical conclusions and a recommendation back to the handle or back to Dean's office in the summary report. Then you have the investigation, the background investigation, the non-criminal side. Keep in mind that we charge applicants a $1,000 investigation fee. I think it's important that we know the applicants, that we know of them, and that are doing business in our various communities selling liquor. So I would propose, and I've checked with one investigation firm that the county engages in, Gladding and Michelle, I've spoken with Mr. Gladding. Mr. Gladding indicates that, you know, based on our ordinance, based on what we would be looking for in terms of a background investigation, past tenants, rentals, neighbors, maybe anything like that, that Mr. Gladding's firm can easily accomplish that, probably for well less than $1,000, probably somewhere in the $750 range. And I'll provide this for the record later. I did not print it off, but Mr. Gladding's firm is much bigger than I ever knew. It's they have offices in Reno, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Palm Springs. And this is what they do for their corporate clients, for their school districts. They have access to databases that we don't necessarily, because they buy this for their they buy access to their overall business. So I would advocate that the background investigation, not the criminal part, but the rest of it, would go to an outside company that's independent of the process, and with a summary report again back to the administrator, Dean Hamor's office. That I think is probably keeping in mind that our liquor licensing board is really four people. I think that's also an important element of this to get one of the voting members, in this case the sheriff, probably not so wrapped up in the investigation process through his office, and we have an independent professional perform that on the outside. So you've got basically criminal background going through the sheriff. You've got investigations going through a private firm such as Mr. Blatting's. You've got financial analysis going through our chief financial officer, our comptroller. And then the remaining times of the pork grill are the ones that we do each and every day, and that's that interaction between state health, between the fire district, and between any other element that has to be done. So those, in a nutshell, are what we see. And if you choose to move this, to shift this, and I think it will provide for very smooth, very streamlined, very efficient processing through community development.
Dean, do you want to add anything to that?
Thank you, Commissioners. County Manager Pat Linton came to us and asked on this and asked us to start reviewing the business license, which I've been part of this business license and for the part of good 20-plus years when Bob DeCardle actually started to morph it over to me. And back in those days, it was a good reason is because basically we do all the inspections, we know, and we go through everything and everything else. The thing is it morphed into is trying to be a one-stop shop, more friendly to the customers, more efficient. I have to say Stacy has created that with computer programs and everything else. Very seldom, as Pat says, 7 to 10 licenses a day. Nobody shows up in our office. They do it electronically. They pay their fee electronically. Of course, a lot of those are business licenses for contractors at this time. Currently, I think last year we were somewhere in between about 1,100 business licenses. With the Tesla and the Switch and the contractors, we're probably going to hit somewhere between 12 to 1,500 standard business licenses this year. And I believe Stacy did some background checking. There's about 80 that the sheriff office, 80 business licenses that the sheriff office handles. And we had discussed early on with the sheriff about those that have a liquor license and things like that, but they just do the general license also to try to make it easier for the customers. I don't see it as big impact on the community development. I do believe in streamlining it. I do believe in efficiency. I do believe in fairness for everybody. I've always standed on that on my 29 years working here, a privilege for Story County. I've always said I don't know anybody's last names. I treat them all the same, and we would continually doing that. We are looking at probably just putting a reading on to, instead of having a first reading and a second reading, business license, we might have to go through that for liquor and things like that. But we're looking at it. You're seeing your agenda is bombarded with long lines of first readings and then second readings and things like that. When they are ready, then we're talked about putting them on there for their final approval and then bringing a full report that you guys would request so you could see everything that you need to see. But also, we've already set up a confidential procedure that we had to with the Teslas, the Switches, and the new companies are coming. We've already been challenged on those confidential, and they're holding up right now. And so making sure the new business license, we see Social Security numbers, different things that they have to put in there that needs to be confidential. And we have that set up also already through the building department, and we can morph that over. So we're willing to work with the sheriff, had a good working relationship with the sheriff, and learn from him also, and work with our team here at Team Story.
And I just want to stress one thing that Bob has already pointed out. If we go to a one reading, that would only apply to business licenses, not liquor licenses. Bob's done some great research on this. Actually, readings aren't even required, but in talking it over with folks, we think at least some public process of who's getting business licenses in this county is prudent, but we really don't do much with that first reading anyway. It's always part of the consent agenda. So we could streamline that. You would probably never see another continuation, to be honest with you, because it just wouldn't appear on the readings until the administrator was ready to recommend approval. But as far as liquor licenses, you have to have two readings.
As would be all privileged licenses?
Correct.
Okay. Sheriff, would you like to come up and give your input?
Bob went through and did a lot of work on this and cleaned up a lot of things between the business licenses and liquor licenses and everything. But there's nothing substantive to it. The only substantive thing that was done was the sheriff was removed from the liquor license investigative process. Now, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Here we are. We pride ourselves on expediting processes and getting the customers taken care of and everything. We're talking about a one-stop shop, but listen to yourselves. Now they're going to come to me for fingerprinting. They're going to go to Dean for processing. They're going to go to Hugh for their bank account to be checked. How's that simplifying the process? I don't care if I'm involved in the process or not. You want to send it out to all these other guys? You want to hire an outsider, pay them for something that, you know, is really unnecessary? We're doing it right now. You want to do all those things? I don't care. But let's fix the ordinance so that when whoever wants to come up and apply for something knows what they're going to be up against, what their benchmarks are. This is a conversation I had with Pat. This is a conversation that I had with Bob. Any applicant deserves to know where they stand. What benchmarks do they have to meet to get a license? Right now it's, okay, well, if we like what you're doing or if we don't like it. All the things that they're saying that they want to do and include, it's all the things that you get right now. We don't give out personal confidential information. We don't give out, we didn't give out Lance's information. He's been through the process. We're talking liquor licenses. If we're going to move the liquor licenses over to the administrator, let's move the brothel licenses over. Let's move all the licenses over if there's a problem with my office. I don't think there is. And there's been one issue that's come up that I'm aware of in 10 years of Story County, and we're still dealing with that. But let's fix the ordinance. Whether my office is involved or not, I don't care. It makes it a lot easier for me if all we're doing is taking fingerprints, sending them on the way. But let's fix the ordinance, and let's make it user-friendly.
Well, I think that's exactly what we're doing, is trying to fix the ordinance. I mean, Mr. Morris has been on staff here for the last several years, and one of his primary jobs has been to go through the county codes and correct all the mistakes, changing verbiage, terminology, in the ordinances. And once again, going through this and find out that under NRS statutes, a lot of the things that are supposed to be in our code aren't there now. And so that's the work that he's doing to get all these parts of the puzzle put together in there.
And that clean up, and those things do need to be done, and I acknowledge that. But just like he pointed
out,
well,
you said
out,
there was no substance to it. I mean, there is.
Like he pointed out with the child abuse or the child support forms, we've been doing that since it came out.
But it's not in county code, and that's what he's doing. He's working on that to remedy the issues that we have with the licensing. Now, you went on to say that you get information that you get to see that isn't privy to the rest of your voting board members.
I read the reports. I don't look at the finances. If somebody comes in, if Mark Phillips comes in and applies for something.
You have access to all that, but you don't read it?
I read the report, the same thing that comes to the board.
And you don't. And you said that you personally don't.
I trust my investigators.
You personally don't do any investigations on this?
I do not.
And so who's doing the financial background?
My investigators are.
And
do you think I touch everything that goes through the sheriff's office?
Hey, Sheriff, I don't know what you do down there, but you're gonna tell me that your people are trained in finance as well as law enforcement?
They make a reasonable conclusion based on the information that they're provided with. It's not that difficult, Marshall. I did the same thing when I worked for the state.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to chime in and definitely clear a distortion of the process. The process is only sending
the applicant to two locations. One is Dean's office as the administrator, who will take the information called out for in the ordinance, and will feed the proper information to Hugh, will feed the proper information to an independent investigator. The only other referral is to you and your jail to roll fingerprints, because you're the only one with access to that information. So I'm going to clarify that. And I'm also going to call out the fact that you say you look at the same information that this board looks at, but quite frankly, there's an application in here up for approval later today for a liquor license, and there's no information in here provided by your office other than a staff report. No report, no information to allow the remainder of the board to make any kind of intelligent decision. So I think you're spewing false facts.
To my understanding, those reports come over. I don't handle that. Like I said, I don't touch everything.
There's another error that needs to be clarified. I think this process, turning it over to the pros that know how to run it, is sound.
All that has to be done is told me that that's not coming, and I'll be more than happy to get it. I know we've sent them over in the past.
I've never seen one.
Maybe we can ask the clerk. She prepares the packet. Can you see that?
Never seen one, ever.
Okay. Well, then that's something that's easily fixed. Like I said, I don't care if I'm involved
in the process.
That's what
part of this process is to remedy it.
I say, I don't care if my office is involved in the process. It makes it easier.
At one time, the sheriff's office handled all licensing in Story County. That's
correct. Well, I understand that.
You know.
I'm not here attacking anybody. I'm saying I think we're making the process more complicated, and the issue that has existed with the liquor licenses is not being addressed.
Well, I think we're addressing
Bobby even said he didn't even address the reasons for denial of license. It's basically the same thing that it was 2 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, 6 years ago. That's where the problem lies. Is an applicant comes in, they don't know where they stand. They don't know what they need to have.
I think the applicants clearly know what they need to provide the administrator, and then it goes through a process. It's really no different than the Planning Commission and applications for zoning, special use permits, or anything. It's not A plus B equals C. It's let us see your tax returns, let us see your financial statements. We'll have a professional look at those that looks at those things every day. So I think the process is very clear what they should expect. I think Bob's done a great job.
Jack, you want to chime in?
Well, in one regards, I do agree that it seems to be a bit convoluted as far as if I was to go get a business license, I don't know where to go. Okay? And then now that I want to go get a business license, they go, and according to what I'm reading here, is like, oh no, well, first you got to get an okay from the fire department, and then you got to get okay from the health department. It's like, okay, where do I start? I mean, do I go to the health department or the fire department and say, hey, I'm going to apply for a business license, I need a letter or okay from you? I don't know. And they're going, what business and where? It's like, well, you don't know because you don't have that business license yet, kind of thing. You know, maybe you do know where. Like maybe you're buying the Pondo or something like that, you know. And so it's that's where it's confusing for me, is where's the smooth process. I know Dean's office is great for helping, especially all these companies, and try, you know, walk them through it. Are you going to do that for the little guy that wants to open the lady that wants to open up a gift shop in town? You need to hold everybody's hand if you're going to hold hands.
Do you think it would be advantageous if somebody like Stacy came up and just walked you through how an applicant, not a liquor license applicant at this point, but an applicant is handled and cared for when it comes in through the community development?
That would be great. That would be great. But I'm referring to what I'm reading in the codes here, what kind of proposes.
Because I think, again, once Stacy kind of walks you through what happens for a general business license, I think you'll see a flow that can be easily adapted into the same thing for liquor licensing.
I wasn't going to get up for a while, but I think that's one of the reasons that the NRS says if you do set up a license, business license department or a licensing department, the idea is that you would know where you were supposed to go. You would go to the licensing department. The process is set up that you have to submit your application and meet any other requirements, but it's the administrator in the licensing department that sends out the requirements that you get these inspections. I'll say, fire department, you need to go inspect this place. And I think they do that on a regular enough basis that they can figure out how to meet with people to make sure that they're there and they can get the inspection done. So I think the process is pretty well set out in the ordinance.
And then Stacy, if you'll go ahead and give us an A through Z, you know, how someone comes up to your office or online, fills out their application.
We basically have two packets. One is for an in-county business and one is for an out-of-county business. The out-of-county business is much more simplified. There are prerequisites of a state business license and, if needed, a Nevada state contractor's license. If they have those in place already, we send them an application. It's a fee page and then the application page. Once everything is filled out and we're satisfied with all the requirements, payment is made and temporary license is issued immediately because a lot of these folks are out-of-county contractors. They need to get to work right away. The in-county is a little more involved, and there's a packet that we send, and we give them a list of everything that they need to do before their license can be issued. It does need to go through two different readings through the commissioners at this time. It does need to have an inspection by both building and fire, and it's stated in the application or in the packet that they need to call and make the inspection appointment with both departments. If there are any food requirements, they also need to go through the health department. We have an inspection form sample that is given to them so that they can see exactly who needs to sign off on their inspections. Once all of that paperwork is in and we've verified everything with the state, with the contractor's board, if it's applicable, we go ahead and take the payment. We don't take any payments until we know all of this is in place because it's really hard to get a refund. If the inspections have been satisfied, we can give a temporary license. If they have not been satisfied, we wait until the first and second readings. Unfortunately, some of the larger businesses down in Tri will go ahead and submit their application before their construction is even finished. That's when you see all the continued licenses on the agenda. And I do think that waiting to put those business licenses on the agenda when they're ready to go would definitely clean up some paperwork there. But same packet, steps 1 through 5, I think. Here's what we need before we can even get you a license. We haven't been involved with any of the liquor licensing. We do have a lot of applications that come in on the Sheriff's Department application, which is somewhat different from ours. We do go ahead and accept that because it is very similar. I'm trying to think of other issues that have come up, but we do have a checklist. It's pretty clear on what you need. The only time you don't need a state license is if you're going to be in the county less than 30 days, and I just learned this recently myself.
So let's talk a little bit about the dynamics of community development and how they can make changes on the fly. Late last year, we had a situation with a particular contractor that requires a specialty certificate issued by another state agency. It was a mess for quite a while with that company, working back and forth between community development and fire, and our fire marshal, Fritz Klingler, does a great job, Chief Haynes, of course. Once it became clear that this certificate, in this case from the Nevada State Fire Marshal's office, also needed to be on there, the process was adapted. You know, I don't know if we've had any since then. I would presume we've had one or two that have applied that that's how flexible the system is when you got a process that really isn't necessarily ingrained in ordinance, but can be applied going forward.
The unfortunate thing with that company, they never sent us an application, and they were on the job site. So
that got taken care of.
That got ugly.
Is Stacy's explanation work for you?
Thank you.
We do have our applications online. We do like to go ahead and highlight via PDF what we need specifically and email those to the applicants.
I do have another question, and I guess this would be directed more towards Gary. If someone was, they got to get a fire inspection at some point, do they know what to be looking for before they ask for a fire inspection?
Yes. We have a checkoff sheet of things that we would normally look for.
On that inspection sheet.
Gene, you need to go up to the microphone.
Dean Haymore, on that inspection sheet that we give to every applicant, has the phone numbers of the departments to get a hold of, and then we also alert the fire department that we have this one coming, and we alert the health division. Now, the other thing we've done in the past year is we have given them out of my office, out of our office down in Tri, the health department has a desk there now, and he works out of there 1 to 2 days a week. And so almost every week I talk to him, and he's telling us even things that we don't know of businesses closing down, like Walmart's kitchen closed down. Now we got a new applicant coming in. Austin's been doing a great job with food trucks down there. I think we're on 12 or 16 food trucks, and they're coming in constantly. And so we have them, and we talk to them up front, and actually the fire department with Fritz, he talks to them. He actually even, as soon as we have an applicant coming in, he actually sends them an email that he's going to be looking at these things right when we let them know that there's an application that came in. And so he sends out, Fritz has been great, sending out emails saying we're going to be looking at these things. And then when they talk to us, we tell them what we're going to be looking at. And then between the annuals with Patty, matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going in to see one of our longtime businesses and talk with the lady on some of the challenges that they have found on the annual and explain to them why this has to be corrected and things like that.
Now, Dean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that both your office and Gary's department have done pre-inspections before. Also, yes. For companies who are interested in buying another business or a change of ownership or licensing, so you can tell these people what they're up against before they even consummate the deal.
We do that on probably every major C Street building and even down in Tri. Before they even close escrow, they usually come to us and ask, and then we go do a pre-inspection, walk through them and tell them and do a report. And we've done that on many of them, if not almost all of them.
Last you. Gary?
If I could, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Gary Haynes for the record. To kind of get to Jack's question, I think if you think of it as a wagon wheel, Jack, it makes a little more sense in my mind instead of the fork approach. But if you think of the wagon wheel, you have a hub, the hub being Dean's office. I'm just a spoke in that wagon wheel, and so I don't want to mission creep. But generally speaking, for general business licenses, it's a very smooth process. We do 12 to 1,500 of those a year. We've got that dialed. And lived through previous administrations where it did start with the sheriff's office. I've seen it adapt and change over the last 28 years. The process that I think is in place now, again, for general business licenses, is the best it's ever been. Dean's the hub. I'm a spoke in that hub. He reaches out to us, contacts us. We go out, do the inspection, sign off on the form, return that to Dean. And once that's all completed, the business license is issued. I don't want to mission creep here, but I'm going to a little bit, and I'll apologize for that. But I think if you can just have one hub, you have to have a parent in charge of this. And when you have two different sorts of business licenses, and in fairness to the sheriff, I'm not sure how comfortable he is processing, and I don't want to speak for him. He's a big boy. He can speak for himself. But I'm not sure how comfortable he is processing the general business licenses. The fees have to be collected. Stacy's done a phenomenal job. We get a portion of those fees to maintain our inspector to do annual inspections. It flows seamlessly. But I see this as just another hub, and that's or another spoke to that hub. And it just makes sense. You just have to have one company, Dean, facilitating it, and he reaches out and corrects people on which area to go to, which spoke to go to. I don't know if that makes sense, but it works extremely well from our perspective as the fire district reporting to a parent being Dean. That's my 2 cents worth. And again, I've lived through past administrations where, and Pat's shaking his head, Pat was the sheriff. I mean, we've had these discussions where it's like it doesn't work this way. The best way is to have this one central repository and everybody reports back to that location. So that's my 2 cents worth.
That's your questions for anybody out there?
You know, the thought I want to make is that I have great respect for all of the tasks that Bob Morris has undertaken here over the years. I recall back several years ago that D.A. Maddox told me that one of his goals here in Story County was to revisit our regulations and our ordinances, and many of them hadn't been visited or looked at for years and years and years. So I applaud this process, and I believe out of it and everything that I've heard here today, we're going to improve our professionalism. We're going to improve our operations. We're growing as a community with a lot of opportunities, and those opportunities bring additional challenges. And I believe all of us are sitting here looking at what we're going to do to do a better job. And I know that we don't want to have issues arrive where it looks like, we've compromised something. We want to have a clear path to a clear outcome, and maybe there's been, and I'm searching for a word here, but conflict of interest is not something that we want to entertain on any of our ordinances or any of the things we're doing. And I think that the process that I'm hearing here that we're going through is going to put us on a more professional platform. And Bob, I thank you for what you're doing. You're doing it in many areas with many of our ordinances, and time well spent, and thank you.
District Attorney Ann Langer, I agree with Mr. Gilman. I think what I've found in my administration is you never find anyone who wants to work on ordinances. They're boring. They are complicated. They are something nobody wants to do. So all of a sudden, when you have somebody in a room like Bob Morris, who's had 25 years in public law government over in Douglas County, and he loves ordinances, you're like, here, come join my team. So part of the administration here, as you can see, one of the things that we have not done before, I sat for a year when Bill Maddox was the DA and just watched the process. And what I'm noticing with this group that is, I think, fortunate for everybody is that you're doing workshops. You're talking it out. What is good? What is bad? What do we want? Everybody's got their own opinion. So I applaud everybody in taking time to do this process. And I really love Bob Morris for the fact that he does love to do ordinances, because you just don't find that every day. So you're right. And I'm happy with that, Bob.
Thank you, Madam DA.
You know, thank you.
Right, Chair.
I just want to clarify something. It seems like people think I'm criticizing this. I'm not criticizing Bob. I said I don't have any problems with the licenses going over to Dean and us just doing fingerprints. Makes it a lot simpler. My issue, my thing, is this: what came up in the licensing to begin with, and this is what I'm still trying to state, is that an applicant should have the ability to know what is expected of them. Do they need to have 20% of X amount of money to cover X amount of expense? Do they have to have XYZ assets to liabilities? Not just, well, you got to show financial status. Give them a benchmark. That's what I'm asking. I'm not criticizing Bob's work. I'm not criticizing. Give it all to Dean. Makes my life a lot easier. I'm a happy camper that way. I'll roll fingerprints all day long. But give the applicants the ability to know what they shoot for. Don't have them come in, pay the money, submit all the paperwork, and hope that things are good enough.
All right, well, that's a good suggestion. Sure.
That's all I've been saying all along.
Let's go back to Gary's thesis of the hub. The wheel and the hub. Yeah. It's kind of like we're each spoke has their expertise. And the sheriff has his expertise. But we don't expect the fire marshal to go out and do a background check or a fiscal probity check. You know, that's not their game, and it wouldn't be, I wouldn't think it's the sheriff's deal either. That's something one of our financial, our comptroller maybe is he's our pro at that. So basically, yeah, we're making sure we got the right people checking the right things. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's the goal here.
The liquor license part of this too. Keep in mind, Bob's done a great job in spelling out. It's a privileged license. I don't think you can do what the sheriff is stating, and that you have to have a debt-to-income ratio of this or that. These are circumstantial. You have to look at the whole picture, you know, of the applicant, of what the applicant brings. So I think you're going to run into situations where you're going to box yourself into a corner with too much criteria and ordinance, and you're not going to have a single applicant successfully approved. So I'd ask, you know, in addition to whatever other public comment, Mr. Chairman, I think Bob has done an outstanding job on page 2 of the staff summary. He and I have kicked this thing around for months. And these are the big questions that neither one of us can really come up with the answers. And I'll just call them out for benefit of those who don't have it with them. But, you know, fundamentally on your non-liquor license applications, do you want two readings? We hardly even look at the first reading right now. It's just part of that. And again, as Stacy has pointed out so well, you know, putting applications on when they've passed fire, when they've passed building, when they've gotten their state licenses, health department, whoever else is involved, you know, that to me makes a whole lot of sense, and it's going to make their life a whole lot easier too. The second question Bob asked, should the administrator conduct the investigation or should there be an independent investigation? You know, again, I think having a voting member of the board responsible for an investigation at least may give an appearance of conflict. And I've looked at the quality of Mr. Gladding's sample reports they shared with me last week. I got to tell you, you know, we're getting a whole lot of information in a summary format of some type that you're not seeing now, as evidenced by the business license that comes up later on today. The third one, I think, you know, again, we're not going to come to any conclusion today. I'd ask that you guys, in particular, the four of you, including the sheriff, provide input to both Bob and I about how much information do you want to see? You know, what is it? You know, we've spelled out, despite the sheriff's protests, we've spelled out what you need to provide in terms of financial statements, tax returns, those types of things. And we can spell that out more precisely if need be, but what do you want to see in terms of making a decision to approve or deny a license? Then the last two I think are really important to me. Off-sale premises licenses, if you think of the number of establishments that go out to the street, as Denny's still here, he is, you know, from the Red Dog to the Pondo to everybody that come outside their premises onto the street for special events, we probably have them more than 3 a year, and I think that limit of 3 is either artificially low or not needed whatsoever. Because to me, if they want to go through the process through Denny, pay the money for the parking barrier program, pay the money for a temporary license or a supplemental license or a whatever other license we'll call on it, you know, special event license, I think we should take off any limitations. And then the last one, and I want to point out too, and I'm glad Mr. Malfantano and Tina are here, we have at least 2 businesses that I know of, and there may be more, where we have upstairs, downstairs bar configurations. I think our current ordinance, I believe, spells out that they should be paid for two liquor licenses. And I don't think that's fair if they're within the same confines of a building. That's just how they're set up. So I would probably treat it on a much less basis, if at all.
Those are, as far as I know, they're not full-time bars. They're just open for occasions as their second bar. Am I right?
Like service bars?
They're like service bars, but you can sit.
But if you put a bar stool in front of it, now you have a full service bar.
Service bar, if you can sit in front of it, then it's a full service bar.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I don't think we should be requiring that. I mean, I'm going to use the steakhouse as an example, or the old Julia Bulette's. There's a bar downstairs and a bar upstairs. You know, do we really want to collect two licenses?
Right. I could see a service bar fee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are the questions. And then just for the record, I believe Bob and I have talked to Austin. Oh, I know we have. And where you see home occupancy businesses in the business license section, not in the liquor, we'll probably change our terminology to be consistent with our master plan to home enterprise, I think. So just as a slight
Since this is a workshop, we'll go ahead and take any public testimony. If anybody would like to make a comment on this in the audience. Ms. Bard, keep your hand up first. Please identify yourself for the record.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I just have a question on Bob's B. The sheriff is a member of the liquor board, and if the sheriff is responsible for the investigation, other than fingerprinting, it seems to create an appearance of a conflict. So you're centralizing it with Dean, Mr. Haymore, makes sense, and that could eliminate that. But how are you going to address the appearance of conflict when two of the four board members that either approve a business license or a liquor license are also owners and competitors on C Street for C Street businesses should they apply for liquor or a gaming license? In approving a potential competitor, how is that not potentially an appearance of a conflict? And how does the ordinance address that? Because if this is being brought up, if the ordinance, some of the ordinance changes are being brought up to address the appearance of a conflict to the sheriff in the fact that he investigates, how is the ordinance going to address the appearance of conflict with board members who at any given time, this board, next board?
Okay, thanks for the question. We'll have ask Mr. Morris, who had to respond to your question.
Just briefly, I think the matter's come up before, and the board members that do have businesses are required under the open meeting law to disclose that. But since they're members of a class, which is owners of commercial property on C Street, they're allowed to go ahead and vote. They have to disclose it, but they're allowed to go ahead and vote.
And they have no pecuniary interest.
They don't have any pecuniary interest in the bill, in the actual business that's getting the license.
Does the sheriff?
Does the sheriff what?
Have a pecuniary interest in the license?
He shouldn't. If you do have a pecuniary interest, you really have to disclose that interest and then abstain.
Okay, well, that's one thing. I don't understand why this statement is even in here. If I don't know how, by the mere fact of doing an investigation, that creates a conflict. The same activity, you know, doing just the investigation itself is a conflict. How is that play there? I that's what I don't understand.
Did I talk to you afterwards?
No, I think we need to know what that is. It's in here.
What's that? Well, see, this is not an action item, and the idea is to get information from the folks, and we understand your concern, and I'll note it. And I think that it's something that we're talking is an appearance rather than an actual conflict. So and there's no decisions being made, and when it comes back for another workshop.
Okay, well then I would like to make a note that if this is going to be a part of the rationale for moving it from the sheriff to another organization, then regardless of whether a board member recuses or not, then the sheriff might very well be able to recuse as well and still maintain it. Again, I just don't understand what the difference is. To me, it's a clearer appearance of conflict of interest to have a competitor approving or not approving your license than it is for the sheriff who does your investigation. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else like to make a public comment? Mr. Thompson. And I'll take you next, Bruce. Okay.
Good morning. Chris Thompson. I'm the project manager at TRI. Mr. Chairman, commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Comptroller, Madam DA. Just one comment. I have personally dealt with Stacy and Dean at their office processing business licenses, and there's one key factor that makes them a good candidate for this one-stop shop, and that is their customer relations. The forms that they use are, I've filled them out myself. They are easy to fill out. You go into their office. They are helpful. They are friendly. They are warm. They are welcoming. They're professional. They do not cut corners. They don't let people come in and bend the rules, but they are helpful. Stacy, a number of times, has called me afterwards clarifying something on a form or helping me to clarify, or emailed me afterwards to clarify something. And that is the kind of customer relations I think that is very helpful in this county, and especially when we have companies coming into our park from all over the United States, all over the world. The Panasonic subcontractors, I think there were 14 last month, being approved. That is the kind of reception that is helpful for us in furthering economic development and welcoming people to this county in the right way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Bruce, did you want to come up and give testimony? You approach the podium. If you'll go ahead and give your name for the record for the clerk, please.
Bruce Kittis, resident of Carson City. I've been attending the Board of Supervisors meetings there for over 17 years. I've heard the liquor board meet almost every meeting. I've never heard anybody accuse Sheriff Furlong of a conflict of interest or all this discussion. So it works in Carson City. I realize this is Story County. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick, one up.
My name is Nick Guerra, and I just want to make a statement. I'm sitting here listening. This is my second meeting, and hopefully I'm going to screw it up like the first time. I just wanted to say that being a retired police officer, I know we have an extremely intelligent district attorney and the sheriff. The sheriff's a good friend of mine. We've had good conversations. What I hate to see here is that they start picking off little pieces of duties that the sheriff has. I know he did ran his campaign on the promise to be fair with everybody, and he has with me. I've had conversations where as I left his office and said, geez, you know, didn't go in my favor, but guess what? He was being fair to everybody. To me, I don't want to see that they start picking off little pieces, and then tomorrow, the next meeting, the liquor license or whatever it is. Tomorrow they're starting to pick off another piece from him. I saw it in San Francisco where I sat there, and I went and felt like a little humble officer. Geez, now I have to sit there and do what everybody else is telling me. And the point I'm just trying to make is I hope I don't see that starts happening on an every month basis or that every time that there's something going on here. I know what it was, 31 years as a policeman, and you sit there at the end, you feel like a humble citizen walking away and saying, geez, I might as well have took my gun away. took everything out. So it's just a point I was just trying to make, you know. And that's, for what it's worth, I support the sheriff. I support everything that he does. He's a seriously intelligent man. We have very intelligent district attorney, and they work together. That's how it works. And you know, and it, I think that if everybody just got together in little groups and sat there and started talking things out, it'd be a little bit more, I'm not saying it's unfriendly, it'd just be a little bit more, be a lot more done that way. That's all I'm saying, and I respect everybody here, and especially you, Marsha. Yeah, I think you're one of the premier people here that I met when I first came, and I have high respect for you. But I just like to see things change for the better and make sure that everybody's just getting along, you know, as far as getting things done and getting everything done in line, and instead of there being a potential for an argument here or there. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else like to give testimony?
Mr. Chairman, before you ask for additional comments from the board, I welcome the review of the financial statements, and for the reason that when it is a privilege and not a right, there is a certain amount of things that I think should be accomplished, and at least an ability to review the financial information gives us the ability to ask the questions, or ask some questions concerning the financial status of the applicant, understanding that sustainability is paramount to anything that is required as far as a business is concerned, and certainly for the reflection of our county residents, the business itself. I welcome this type of review. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
And I think, too, Mr. Gallagher just hit it right on the head, is we want to get the process to the professionals best equipped, in this case for financial backgrounds, that's financial analysis. There's no one better to put it with than our comptroller. So that's the whole nexus of this, is not to attack the sheriff. It's not to take things away. He stated publicly he could care less. In this case, it's our objective to simply get it into a process that makes it better and more effective, more safeguarded than what we have.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn. Jack, any follow-up?
I got several. I don't know if I'll kind of whip through them, and then I'll get with you afterwards. I don't know. Is that okay, Bob? Because I did talk to Bob and had a few questions, and he thought I should bring it up here. You know, one of the things that it talks about right off the bat administrator taking on the duties. And there's no definition of the administrator here. And though it was generated an administrator back in 2002, there should be some kind of definition in this record here of the administrator and his duties, his authority, because I found in the following pages that it says that the administrator can and the board can issue a temporary license, and then two sentences later it sounds like just the administrator has authority to do that. So we need to kind of just make it clear what the administrator, what kind of person, what's required of the administrator, and that kind of thing. There was another one on page 10. The administrator had sole discretion. We need to, like I said, we need to define what the administrator is doing.
Proof of financial standing. Let's just pause for a second.
Okay, on page 18, proof of financial standing. I think that needs to be more specific. Okay, what does the applicant need to know to be financial, you know, stable or have the business property? So it's just a, to me, it's just a broad term. Okay. On page 22, 5.12.050, section D, new license may not be issued when the licensee abandons his liquor license upon a period of 1 year from the date the liquor board declares the license abandoned. Okay, I guess up above in A, it says that it states a six-month period, so that's kind of confusing there. Okay. Down in the, at the bottom of the page, 5.12.080, section, was it B2? It sounds like 18-year-olds can sell alcoholic beverages. So I just wanted you to look at that again. And I think that's about it. Yeah, that'll be it.
Okay. Lance, do you have any follow-up?
No. Fine.
Okay. Taking public comment. Let's put their input. Mr. Morris, you wanted several weeks before we could maybe you want to do another workshop. Say, how does March the 1st look? Give you about 7 weeks.
That would be great, yes. I think that's appropriate. And as I said, this is a pretty complex area of the law. So I'd like to have a chance to go through all the suggestions and come up with a little more refined version.
Sure. So that, at that time, if we're looking for an action item or if we just want to have another workshop before...
I think a workshop would be good.
Good. Okay. Very good. All right, let's move along now to item number 16. This is discussion of possible action. We're claiming January 2016 is National Raid on Action Month in Story County. Ms. Nevin, we have someone from the University of Nevada with us today.
Good afternoon now. Sherry Nevin for the record. We have with us here today Jamie Royce Gomes from the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension Office. I'm going to let her speak to you about radon. I'm going to pass out some information for each of you. So,
for the record, my name is Jamie Royce Gomes. I am the radon education coordinator, again, with University of Nevada Cooperative Extension's Nevada Radon Education Program. Inside there are test kits as well as information about radon. And thank you very much for allowing us to come in and talk to you about a possible proclamation. Radon is the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers. A lot of people don't know this, but lung cancer actually kills more than any other cancers out there. And so the EPA, they have an action level of 4 picocuries per liter of air, and that's just a measurement of how much radioactivity is found per 1 liter of air. If your home is at a yearly average of 4 picocuries per liter of air, the risk of you developing lung cancer is the same as somebody who smokes about half a pack of cigarettes a day. And so to reduce this risk of lung cancer, you can test your home for radon and you can fix it if there is a problem. And so we offer free radon test kits to all Nevada residents, and test kits are actually offered here in Story County at the Story County Library, or Lockwood residents can actually go to our office in Reno at 4955 Energy Way. And so let's get down to statistics about here in Story County. About 1 in 4 homes that have been tested have found elevated radon levels. Now, the only thing is that only about 43 homes have been tested within Story County. Obviously, there's a lot more than 43 homes here within Story County. And so not only should people be testing for radon to reduce their risk of lung cancer, but be testing to help increase these statistics to a more representative sample. So we do have an educational presentation in Carson City, and that's at the Carson City Senior Citizen Center at 901 Beverly Drive, January 25th at 6 p.m., or else you can visit the library, or you can call us up and we'll mail you a kit. Our number is 1-888-RADON-10. And so I have the proclamation reading. Would you like me to read it, or?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay. A proclamation by the Story County Commissioners. Whereas many Story County residents don't know about radon, yet need to know for the safety and well-being of their families, as radon is a colorless, odorless, naturally occurring radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers. And whereas the U.S. EPA estimates 21,000 people die in the U.S. each year from lung cancer caused by indoor radon exposure, and lung and bronchus cancers kills more people in a year than any other cancer. And whereas radon kills more people than secondhand smoke, drunken driving, falls in the home, drowning, or home fires. And whereas any home in Story County may have elevated radon concentrations, even if neighboring homes do not. And living in a home with an average radon level of 4 picocuries per liter of air poses a similar risk of developing lung cancer as smoking about half a pack of cigarettes a day. And whereas testing is the only way to know if a radon problem exists, and testing is easy, inexpensive, and when identified, problems can be fixed. Whereas University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health, and the U.S. EPA supports efforts to encourage all Story County residents to test their homes for radon, mitigate radon problems, and have new homes built with radon-reducing materials. And so the rest of the proclamation says that you approve the proclamation, but I'm not going to be presumptuous, and I'm going to hand this over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jamie. We can take any public comment on this at this time. Anyone would like to speak? It's been customary that we go ahead and proclaim January as National Radon Month here in Story County. So, Jack, have you got anything?
Yeah, we did this last year, and I did some research on it. And the one thing that kind of I took aback was that if you found radon in your home, that it's up to you to spend the money to take care of it. So all this does is tell you you got radon or not. There's no help or assistance in getting rid of it.
Well, actually, the USDA does offer loans and grants for very low-income individuals. But besides that, you do have to pay for it.
I would think that you might not want to do a radon test, because if you sold your home, you might have to disclose that information.
You're right. You do have to disclose it. Sometimes it can be a marketing plus. I tested my home. And then I recently sold it, and it had low levels, so I made sure that information was in with my real estate agent. She let buyers know, hey, you know what, this home has been tested, and there was low levels.
If you got elevated levels, then the price of your house tanks.
Price of your home does not tank. It is great to know what your radon levels are. The amount of money that it takes to fix a home with a radon problem is minuscule compared to about, treating lung cancer. So on average, fixing a home with a crawl space is about $3,800 to fix. But, if you were to get lung cancer, on average it costs about, $300,000 to treat lung cancer. And so if you do know that you have a radon problem, it's smarter to fix your home.
Thank you.
Can't argue with that. Would anyone else like to make a public comment on this? Okay, commissioners. At this time, I'm looking for a motion to approve proclaiming January 2016 as National Radon Month in Story County.
So I'll make the motion to proclaim January 2016 as National Radon Action Month in Story County.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Ms. Gomes, thank you for coming up today.
Thank you. Is there any way we can get a picture?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Gentlemen?
Well, you be our front man.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh.
Somebody's got to do it.
Here we go. Great.
Ready? Jeez, Sherry. That was a 1 minute smile they had to hold.
Thank you.
All right, moving along now to item number 17, this discussion of possible action, approval of the Sheriff's General Business License, second reading for Paul Roche, PBR, Concealed Carry Weapons Instructor, 443 Torellis Drive, Fernley, Nevada, 89408. Sheriff?
Recommend approval for Mr. Roche. It's just a general business license out of county. His course of instruction meets with that set forth by state statute. So, nothing more to that one.
Okay. So my question would be now is, why it's a standalone and not just put under the second readings under item 22?
Couldn't tell you. It was just, that's the way it was submitted.
Okay. Very good.
Why it wasn't included in the second readings, I don't know.
All right. Very good. Okay. Does anybody have any public comment on the second reading? Commissioners, look for a motion for approval.
I'll make the motion to approve the Sheriff's General Business License, second reading for Paul Roche, PBR, Concealed Carry Weapons Instructor, 443 Torellis Drive, Fernley, Nevada, 89408.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve this business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 18, discussion of possible action, approval of the Sheriff's General Business License, second reading for Delta Saloon, Tina Perkins, located at 18 South C Street, Virginia City.
On this one, I guess the district attorney has something to add also, but with it being brought to my attention that you were not given a copy of the reports, and we would have to do this probably on separately on item 19 also, but I would suggest we continue both of those items.
No. Let's do it differently. Because there's
by all means.
Good. Thank you.
I now turn the mic over to the district attorney.
Okay.
I agree with the sheriff that instead of continuing it, based on everything that's led up to today, and instead of going through the whole history, these are actually first readings based on some agenda items that the way that they were written and the actual information that was provided at the sheriff's office. So I think we accomplished the same goal by making 18 a first reading and 19 a first reading instead of continuing them. So next time we are here, it would be a second reading on both of them.
Okay.
And just for the record, once I was informed you had not received anything, I did email all of each of you a copy of the report that I read. So we'll have that available for the next agenda.
Okay. Very good. So since this is a first reading, we don't need a vote on this, is that correct?
No, I would say you do. I'm hoping for Ann's counsel, because you actually vote to approve your first
under
reading.
Under consent.
Part of your consent.
Okay,
so
very good.
I would think of motion to approve first reading.
And at this point, the temporary licenses would stay in place until the next meeting.
Okay. Okay. All right. Does anybody have any public comment on this item? Hearing none, commissioners looking for... we act fast around here. So.
Brandon Sendall for the record. I just want to get clarification as to why this is a first reading and not a second reading. Why?
Because it was pulled from the last agenda because everything hadn't been completed. So this wasn't heard in a prior meeting.
I'll save it for the record.
Mm-hmm. For the record, on December 15th, the sheriff had put in a form in his packet basically stating that he was requesting a general business license and a liquor license. On December 15th, the actual agenda item read, it said approval of, under the consent agenda, approval of liquor licensing. But it didn't have what it was referring to, just licensing, not license. So this, then on the 5th, and I brought that to the attention, that the actual agenda item under staff reports was different than the actual agenda item. So it wasn't actually agendized for the business license. Then we came on the 5th, and on the 5th, the sheriff asked that the liquor license be continued because they were not done with the investigation. I don't believe anything had been brought up again on the general license. So, with the proper verbiage in today's agenda, that would make it a first reading on the general license for the Delta and a first reading on the liquor license for the Delta, but we really need to adjourn 419 and make sure that we have it under the liquor license board. So I'm sure that sounds like a, as the sheriff would say, a soup sandwich, but the good news is he was going to ask that they both be continued anyway. These are procedures that we want to make sure are clear in the record, so that is why we're handling it like this, and we will go forward with second readings at the next agenda meeting.
That help?
All right. Any other questions, comments, discussion? Yes. Come on up.
Vince Malpitano, owner of the Delta and the Bonanza. The DA is incorrect. I'm not sure of the date, but when she came up on the agenda for the first reading, it was approved as part of the consent agenda. And then afterwards, DA Langer came up and tried to bring up some issue, and the sheriff rightly reminded her that it's already been approved. There was nothing else to talk about. So she has been approved on the first reading. Whether or not it was agendized correctly, that's not for me to comment on. That's the work of the board and the people that agendize the stuff. But for the record, she has already been approved on the first reading. So whether or not this has been agendized correctly, it has been. It's for the second reading. And there should be no reason why an action shouldn't take place other than, you know, the normal rigmarole that you guys go through.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I don't think this is really rigmarole, but the long and the short of it is sheriff asked that it be continued today either way. The way that it was written in the agenda on the 15th, probably it should not have been passed because it was not agendized correctly. So either way, the reality is the second reading would be taking place based on the sheriff's recommendation and the DA's recommendation to the next meeting.
Thank you. Yeah, this would be the first reading. Okay. Any other discussion?
Yes.
Contrary to what we don't go back and forth like this, Mr. Malfantano. You had one bite of the apple.
You called for more discussion. I'm giving you more.
No, you had the one bite of the apple. We don't go back and forth. We don't do it like that. From any other persons in the audience who have not yet testified.
So a public can only testify once.
Mr. Malfantano,
I'm asking you a question.
You don't have. I want you to sit back down in your seat.
You don't need to tell me to sit back down.
Sit back down.
You asked for further discussion.
Not from you. Sit back down in your seat.
So anybody else but me.
Sit back down in your seat.
Don't ask me to sit back down. This is a public forum and a public hearing.
Mr. Malfantano, I'm going to ask you one more time to sit down, or I'm going to call for a recess and have the sheriff remove you from the building. Anyone else who hasn't yet made testimony? Anyone else like to speak? All right. Commissioners, item number 18 is the approval of the Sheriff's General Business License for the first reading for the Delta Saloon, Tina Perkins, located at 18 South C Street, Virginia City. Can I get a motion for approval?
I also move.
I'll second that, and note that the agenda says second reading.
Upon recommendation by the district attorney, we're making it the first reading. So moved and second to approve this license. Tina Perkins at the Delta Saloon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, at this time we're going to recess as the Board of County Commissioners to convene as the Story County Liquor Board. Item number 19, discussion of possible action, approval of the liquor license. Once again, this will be the first reading for the Delta Saloon, Tina Perkins, located at 18 South C Street, Virginia City. As already previously stated by the district attorney, as this wasn't agendized properly, it'll be the first reading and not the second reading. Anybody have any public comment on this? Hearing none, commissioners looking for a motion for approval.
I would move to approve the liquor license, first reading for the Delta Saloon, Tina Perkins, located at 18 South C Street, Virginia City.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the liquor license for the first reading for the Delta Saloon, Tina Perkins, located at 18 South C Street, Virginia City. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
It's also noted.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Sheriff.
You want to come all right. In here?
No.
Record will go ahead and reflect that all four liquor board members have voted in the affirmative. All right. At this time, we're going to adjourn as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene as the Board of County Commissioners. Moving along now to item number 20, discussion of possible action, approval of award to Aspen developers in the amount of $283,200 for the completion. Pardon me?
You said 83. Did I?
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. $238,200 for the completion of the Story County Courthouse parking lot in Virginia City, Nevada, and $11,799 as contingency money toward the project. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, I'd ask that this item be pulled permanently off the agenda, and I'll repost it as necessary when it's back.
Very good. Yeah, motion on that?
I would think not, Bob. We're just not taking any action. It's going to go off the agenda. So.
Right. It's just withdrawn.
Okay.
There's no motion to withdraw it.
Okay. No motion to withdraw. I believe she's saying there should be a motion to withdraw.
All right. Can I get a motion to withdraw this item from the agenda?
I would so move.
I'll second.
We move and second to withdraw this item from the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Excuse me. Moving along now to community development and planning. Item number 21, discussion and possible action. Application number 2014-021. This has been continued from January the 5th of 2016 by the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center. Do you want to go ahead and continue on with this?
Yes, I'm asking for action at this meeting. Oh, Mr. Gilman.
Mr. Chairman, I have a pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, which is the subject matter of this agenda item. So I am going to recuse myself from discussion or voting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I'll go ahead and give for the record a brief history and subject matter, what we have in front of us, and I'll be asking for action at this meeting. The introduction here, really, this is property located in McCarran, Nevada. It's not exclusive to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. It includes 22 parcels, approximately 580 acres, and it's land that was transferred in 2014 from Washoe County to Story County per SB 272. The former zoning in Washoe County was zoned agriculture, industrial, medium, rural, and public, and the proposed zoning for the parcels respectively is going to be natural resources, industrial, commercial, forestry, and public on the parcels as identified in the staff report. The applicants are Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the Nature Conservancy that also owns land out there, particularly along the Truckee River Riparian Corridor, and the Union Pacific Railroad Company. They're all aware of the respective zones that apply to their lands.
key elements and the findings, really, in this whole thing is it conforms to the master plan and the zoning ordinance. Its adjacent zoning is compliant and conforming, and its Story County Code chapters that are involved deal with for all of the respective zones, as well as the administrative provisions and the purpose and the intent. I do have motions prepared for this board, and before this board makes a motion, I'd ask that I be allowed to read some findings for you if you'd like, and then we can discuss further.
So, I'm going to ask, is there any public comment on this? Mr. Phillips. And as I ask for public comment, I don't know if anybody has any objections to approving this.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. And I see here we're here today, item number 21. Apparently this is a zoning map amendment. And apparently the map being amended is not present here today. I do not see a zoning map that is to be amended. It's not here, not available for the public. Boy, if y'all approve this today, you're supposed to put your signature right on the map, attested by the clerk. I don't see how you can do this today without the map present.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if you want me to respond, I will.
Go right ahead.
Okay. All of the materials have been posted per NRS. The staff report does contain the necessary materials, and our geographic information systems function will be creating those maps if this is approved.
So, any other public comment on this? Then will you go ahead and read the findings, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The findings are contained on page 13 of the staff report under section 4. I'll read them quickly to get through it. It is 4.1, motion for approval. The following are found regarding the zone map amendment under the recommended conditions of approval shown in section 5. A motion of approval should include a minimum. These findings may include other findings deemed appropriate by the factual by the body. 411, the proposed zone map amendments complies with federal Nevada state and Story County regulations. 412, the proposed zone map amendment will impose no substantial adverse impact or safety hazards on the abutting properties. 413, the conditions of approval for the zone map amendment do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Story County Code 1703 administrative provisions for zone map amendments and zones text amendments, or the purpose and intent of Story County Code 1715 public zone, 1732 forestry zone, 1739 industrial commercial zone, 1776 natural resources zone, and 1784 signs and billboard regulations as applicable. 414, the uses allowed by the new zones do not appear to cause substantial adverse impacts to the uses abutting allowed in the abutting zones. 415, the proposed zone map amendment is in substantial compliance with the supports, the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the Story County Master Plan. 416, the proposed zone map amendment will provide for land use compatible with existing adjacent lands uses and will not have detrimental impact to other properties in the vicinity. 417, the proposed zone map amendment will not cause uses that will negatively impact existing or planned public facilities and will not adversely impact the public health, safety, and welfare. 418, the proposed zone map amendment will not create any non-conforming conditions such as non-conforming setback distances or minimum partial area and width requirements. On the front page of the staff report is a motion that's prepared. If you would like to use that motion, there are alternative motions also in the staff report.
Are you good with using that motion?
Yes.
Before you do that, I'm going to ask once again if there's any more public comment on this item before we vote. Okay.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for your due diligence on getting this done. This was the 600 acres that Washoe County basically gave us, and so we had to
make sure we know, we want to set rules in place of what was going to go there and what's not going to go in there. It's a nice piece of property along the river. It's Story County is going to really benefit from that piece of property. Thank you. So with that said, I'll make a motion to recommend, based on the findings shown in subsection 4.1 and the conditions of approval shown in section 5 of this report, in conformance with federal, state, and county regulations and the recommendation for approval by staff and the Planning Commission, to approve this application number 2014-201. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second now to approve application 2014-021. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The clerk will note that Commissioner Gilman abstained. Moving along now to item number 22, for possible action, licensing board second reading.
I think Dean's going to cover this one.
Okay. Mr. Haymore.
Thank you, Commissioners. I would suggest and recommend that this board approve items in the second reading of the licensing board A through T, as they have met all the requirements to receive a license from Story County.
A through what, Dean?
T. A through T.
As in David?
As in Tom.
Tom. Tom. A through T.
All right, Commissioners, on item number 22, if I can get a motion for approval of items A as in Adam through T as in Tom.
I'll make the motion to approve A as in Adam through T as through Tom for their business license.
I'll second that motion.
The move and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
And I would ask this board to continue business license U through X, as we are working with them. Some have a temporary business license to operate, but they're waiting for final inspections or final construction.
Okay, Commissioners, motion to continue items U through X.
I'll so move.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded on item number 22 to continue items U through X. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haymore. Moving along now to item number 23, public comment. Any public comment today? Public comment, Sheriff? Meeting's adjourned.